Chapter 17. Ciao, Milano. Bonjour, Paris. The train ride from Milan to Paris took about 9 hours, and we arrived in Paris at a train station called the Gare de Lyon. That's over 30 years ago, but I'll never forget the name of the train station we pulled into on our arrival in Paris, which was to be my new home. Go figure. Once we got there, we got a room right near the Gare de Lyon train station. It was convenient, and hell, I didn't know Paris anyway, so why not? One place is as good as another, and it turned out that I was right about that. I don't care where you go in Paris, it's Paris and it's nice. Once we got settled into the room, Ann and I headed out and made our way over to a model agency by the name of First Models, a very reputable model agency at the time, and I happened to get signed, but unfortunately Ann didn't. One thing about the modeling industry, they are very strict about height. In my case, I was a bit too short and that didn't help, but I got by in the industry somehow anyway. I guess it was those cowboy boots with 2-inch heels that made the difference. I also ended up doing a lot of TV commercials and movies where height is not an issue. So back to Anne. We're going from Nice, where she was a bit of a star and a favorite of the agency there, to Paris, where she couldn't even get an agent, didn't bode well. And what I didn't know at the time is that she was in touch with her agency in Nice, and they were trying to talk her into coming back. You have to understand that with female models, the model agency acts as sort of a mother figure, and the model and agency become extremely close, which was particularly true with Anne and Privilege, her agency at Nice. I mean, it was my agency too, but I didn't have that close relationship with them like Anne did. I guess they knew that I would come and go. They always looked after her best interests, and her living with me in Paris was not in Anne's best interest, or I suppose the agency's best interest either. I don't blame them at all, because Anne was probably confiding in them, and in retrospect, I'm sure she was worried and probably not very happy living with me in Paris. Furthermore, she was only 18 and I was 32. I could go on, but I think I'll leave it at that. I called my parents soon after Anne and I had arrived in Paris because they had planned on meeting me in Nice with another couple, but since I was no longer there, I had to inform them that I was now in Paris, so meet me there instead of Nice type of thing. Oh, and I also asked them to bring me my roller skates. So oddly enough, a couple days later, my parents and their best friends arrived in Paris, and we arranged to meet for dinner. So we go and meet them in this nice French, go figure, restaurant. All restaurants in France are nice. And I introduced everyone to Anne Francoise, and they absolutely adored her. Anyway, my folks and company stayed in Paris for a couple days, and we hung out together and had a great time in the City of Light. And then they were off to Nice and the Côte d'Azur. During my years living overseas, my parents visited me 2 times. Paris was the first time, and the second time was in Hong Kong 5 years later. My parents loved to travel, so visiting me, I guess, sort of gave them an excuse to not only see me, but also see France for the first time. And it goes without saying that they absolutely loved it, and in fact, returned to Paris several times after that first visit. After my folks left, I noticed Anne was not really herself. I knew she had been speaking with her agency in Nice, but I really didn't know any more than that. I assumed that they were trying to talk her into coming back to Nice, but she never really let me in on it. Anyway, we went back to our room, and I ducked out for a second to buy something, and when I returned, she was gone. I mean, are you kidding me? She split without telling me? Does that tell you anything? Well, it absolutely knocked the wind out of me, and I went sort of crazy, so you know what I did? I ran to the metro, that's Paris's subway, and when it arrived, I jumped on it, and I got off at the first stop, ran up the stairs and onto the street, and looked for Anne. Is that nuts or what? I mean, there is no reason that she would be located at that first metro stop, but that's what I did in all my craziness. I was in a panic and didn't know what else to do, so I did that. I mean, I was desperate. What can I say? Hell, I was in love with her. What would you have done? She wouldn't be waking me up in the morning anymore with faire amour avec moi. You mean I have to live with just me again? God forbid. So I just headed back to the room and had to tough it out, basically. I was devastated, to be honest. When I got back to the room, I was sick about it. I felt as if I had been punched in the stomach. I was all alone in my charming little $10 room in Paris, and I just had to deal with it. And do you know how I dealt with it? I'll never forget this as long as I live. I did my laundry. That's right, I did my laundry, and believe it or not, it helped. It got my mind off of her for the time being anyway, and that was better than nothing. So I recommend to anyone out there whose girlfriend takes off without a word and you are desperate and beside yourself, gather up all your dirty clothes, put them in a bucket, get some Tide, pour it over your clothes that are in that bucket, run water on it, and start stomping on those clothes, which will not only wash your clothes well, but you'll feel damn good just doing it. And it might just take your mind off of things. It worked for me anyway. I did finally get over Anne Francoise, most likely because I was in Paris, also known as the City of Love, and without a doubt, one of the greatest cities on planet Earth, if not the greatest city. I got the following from Wikipedia. Wikipedia. Paris is called the City of Love for a number of reasons, including its sights, its native language, and its popularity as a honeymoon destination. Standing above the city is the most romantic of places, the Eiffel Tower. Now, are you ready for this? And this is one of those miracles or coincidences that you can't explain. You won't believe this, but it's the honest to God truth. As I mentioned, my parents and their best friends, the Danks, had gone to Nice, and they were out and about one day, and my dad's friend, Bill Dank, says to my dad, "Hey, Joe, isn't that Anne Francoise over there?" And my dad says, "It can't be, Bill. She's in Paris with Brad." And Bill says, "I don't know, Joe. It sure looks like her. I really think it's her, Joe." So my dad looks in that direction and says, "Well, I'll be damned, Bill. I think you might be right." So they go over to the person they think is Anne, and damned if it wasn't. It was my Anne Francoise in the flesh. So my dad told me that they talked for a while, and then they invited her to dinner, and they ended up having dinner together that evening, and my dad said that they had the greatest time, sans Brad, without Brad. Okay, that was 1985. Fast forward to this year, 2019. I was visiting my parents in Chicago a couple of months ago, and we happened to be talking about our Paris visit and the Anne Francoise deal, probably because I was writing this book and wanted to hear it fresh. And my mother tells me something that I never knew. She told me after all these years that she had given Anne Francoise $100 as a sort of gift, I guess. That's all she told me. Geez, were they in cahoots? I mean, I doubt it because they were shocked to see Anne that day on the French Riviera, so I guess it was just a gift and not money for escape. But it probably gave her the means to escape anyway. Go figure. God, I'm sick, aren't I? Here's a poem that I wrote to Anne Francoise as I sat in that lonely room near the Gare de Lyon not long after she left that maybe describes better how I felt. She never read it because I never sent it, but luckily my parents saved it as they did a lot of my stuff that I'm fortunate enough to be able to use in this memoir. I'll type it out for you first, misspellings and all, since you'll probably never be able to read my chicken scratch, and then the poem itself that I wrote on a piece of paper in Paris in 1985. Oh, and then a map of our route from Nice to Milan to Paris. Poem to Anne. Written to Anne from Paris in 1985. So I dropped into a sidewalk cafe, because there was little else to do, thinking of all my travels, but always coming back to you. So what are you doing right now on that southern coast of France? Maybe you're eyeing another. That you're thinking of me is hardly a chance. Maybe that's why Paris drives me nuts, because it reminds me of you a lot. Yeah, I'll always remember that day you left. You know, it really gave my system a shot. To think that you're just busy with your life and I'll probably never see you again. It tugs at my heart and swells up my tears and makes me want to bury my pen. End of chapter.